Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 through 33. This is the reading of God's word. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take also for yourself the finest of spices, of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250, and of fragrant cane, 250, and of cassia, 500, according to shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. You shall make of these a holy anointing oil, a perfume mixture, the work of a perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony and the tabernacle and all its utensils and the lampstand and its utensils and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils and the laver and its stand. You shall also consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister as priests to me. You shall speak to the sons of Israel saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it in the same proportions. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off from his people." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time hearing your word. We pray that your spirit will be with us and grant us an ear to hear your word. O Father, let us hear the living word of our living God, that we may be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. O Father, through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us, so that we may rejoice and give you all the thanksgiving. And Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly, and that your people, all of us, will hear it, understand it, and believe it, and obey it. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we come to God's commandments. God's commands to Moses to make holy anointing oil. And it tells us that whatever it touches shall be holy. And it is a perfume mixture and the work of a perfumer. Moses is to use the finest of spices, flowing myrrh, it says 500 shekels, fragrant cinnamon, half as much, thus 250 shekels, fragrant cane, 250 shekels, cassia, 500 shekels, all according to the shekels of the sanctuary. It's a unit of weight. Hard to tell you exactly how much. They are to mix with these a hin, and it's hard for me to tell you how much is a hin, but hin of olive oil. And with this holy anointing oil, Moses is to, verses 26 through 29, anoint everything, the whole tabernacle, all the furnitures and the utensils. So Moses is to consecrate them, and so that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy, it says. And we come to verse 30, it says, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister as priests to me. So it's the ordination and installation. During that ordination and installation, Moses is to anoint these priests to be with this oil. So, whatever this oil touches shall be holy, meaning whatever is to be set apart for the holy use, Moses is to anoint it to make it holy for the Lord. By anointing with this oil, Aaron and his sons are to be set apart as a holy priest of God to serve God. And the oil itself is also holy. But what does it mean to be holy? We talked about this many times, so I take that you already know. It means in our context to be set apart for the service of God. That's what it means to be holy. And as you set these things apart, these furniture and also utensils and these priests, you set them apart for the use in the ministry of the tabernacle. You do that by anointing this oil. Thus, this oil must be handled as holy. It must never be used for any other reason than to make things holy so that can be used in the service of God. Verses 31b through 33, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generation. It shall not be poured on anybody's body, nor shall you make any like it in the same proportions. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off from his people, shall be put to death. It is truly holy oil, and it is set apart from any other oil. So then, we see two things in the ministry of the tabernacle. First, we see the blood of the animals must be sprinkled on those things and those people. But also here we see that this holy anointing oil must be anointed on them. Through this anointing then, the priests officially become holy priests of God. The first thing that we want to look at today is the one of the ingredients making this oil, the olive oil. Oil in general and the olive oil in particular point to the blessings of God. The abundance of oil is a picture of God's abundant blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13, He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil. The increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which He swore to your forefathers to give you. So describing God's blessing, obviously, this is Old Testament, so typological. So it is all earthly. But nevertheless, the abundance of oil is a picture of God's blessing. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12, They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd, and their life will be like a water garden, and they will never languish again. a description of heavenly blessings in terms of earthly things. Then the opposite is also true. If abundance of oil is blessing, then lack of oil is a picture of God's judgment. Micah chapter 6, verse 15a, you will sow, but you will not reap. You will tread the olive, but will not anoint yourself with oil. Hosea describes the blessings of the messianic kingdom this way in Hosea chapter 2, verse 21 through 23. It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, to the new wine, and to the oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. So, first of all, the oil, abundance of oil, points to the blessings of God. Also then, oil points to abundant joy. Psalm 104, verse 15, and wine which makes man's heart glad, so that he may make his face glisten with oil, and food which sustains man's heart. Isaiah 61, verse 3, and Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9 speaks about the oil of gladness and the oil of joy. The olive oil is also used to light up the lampstand in the Holy of Holies. The oil also points to the glory and the honor that we receive from God. Psalm 92, verse 10, but you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. So oil points to many things, but as we have seen many times, ultimately, oil points to the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. So there's that connection, anointing with oil and coming of the Holy Spirit. If oil, then, points to the Holy Spirit, anointing with oil also points to the new creation, which the Holy Spirit accomplishes as he comes to his people. Oil being poured on someone is, then, it is a picture of the Holy Spirit coming to that person. In Exodus chapter 40, we see the completion of the tabernacle. And after the anointing of the oil, we are told that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit comes to the temple to reside in it and fills with his glory. Again, the connection between the anointing with oil and the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is what we are looking at in our passage. Also, the priests are anointed, a picture of the Holy Spirit coming to recreate them as the priests of God. But before the anointing, the blood of the animal was sprinkled on them. And that picture we already saw, that priests are cleansed of their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. So as you see, these priests are sprinkled with blood and anointed with oil, we see our spiritual reality that is already accomplished. Because you and I, we are also cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and now the Holy Spirit came and resides in us. So as you see then, the ordination and installation of this priest, you understand then what has happened to you. See, we don't know when Holy Spirit came. But we believe, we know, that we are cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the oil, came to us. So we don't know what day that was, but it was our own ordination and installation as the priests of God. So you need to realize, just like, you know, Elder Kim, last year, December, right? Before that, he knows that, hey, I'm not elder, because I was never ordained and never installed. But after that, he realizes, hey, there was ordination and there was installation. The same with you. There was ordination service for you. You are ordained and you are installed as the priest of God. The priests are anointed with this holy oil. They are being set apart to be holy priests of God. But it is also a picture of the new creation. They are recreated as the priests of God. It is a picture of being born again as the citizens of heaven and being born again as the priest of the temple of God. God is recreating them as God's own priests who will serve God forever and ever. They are being made into God's people who will be satisfied with God and God alone. And all the priests in the Old Testament, they were Levites. And they did not receive any inheritance. Why? Because God himself was their inheritance. So as a priest of God, you are to satisfy with God and God alone. You are not to seek the worldly things. And this is who you are. This is your reality. You have become the priest of God. And these priests are being made into God's people who will witness their satisfaction of the abundance of their eternal home. They are being made into men of God, men of heavenly world. That's the picture that we're seeing here. Aaron and his sons, they are the tribes of Levi, like I said. But according to Genesis 49, Levi was not an ideal person. There he is described as one who has a fierce anger. But God nevertheless chooses him and his descendants to be his priests. Yes, we see this. I mean, you know, you might say to yourself, how can I be priest of God? I don't feel like it. I don't live like it. I'm not. I mean, look at me. But if you're a Christian, that's what happened to you. God has ordained you with his Spirit. And God has installed you as a priest. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 5, then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to serve him and to bless in the name of the Lord, and every dispute and every assault shall be settled by them. And according to Numbers chapter 8, they are wholly given to God. They are to live a holy life, a life that is set apart from this sinful world. They are to serve God and worship God day and night. This is their life. According to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 9, they do not have any earthly inheritance. Therefore, Levi does not have a portion or inheritance with his brother. Why? The verse continues, the Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God spoke to him. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor own any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. See, this is your heavenly reality. Of course, when we live here in this world, we need things of the world. But as a priest of God, your focus is not on them. Your life is a holy life. And you trust God. He said, do not worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. Your whole focus should be serving and worshiping God. See, of course, you all probably telling yourself, wait a minute, that description of who I am in Christ is so further from truly how I am right now. God's command to you is never, okay, you guys, do your best to be priest of God. Do your best so that you will be worthy of being priest God. That's not what God is saying. This is always the mistake that so many people make. That they think that God is telling God's people to do their best to become priest of God. No. He's telling you what Christ has already done for you. Your job is not to become one. Your job is to believe so that you may, with that faith, witness who you truly are in Christ. Because if you do your best to become one, even if you do become one, it's not good for you because you will brag about it. You will boast about it. Because you know you did it. No, Jesus has already done it for you. It's accomplished already. Your job is to believe. And when you start to believe, then something amazing thing happens, that faith will dominate you. As that faith grows, then that faith will make you witness who you are in Christ. Now, am I saying that you should not put any effort, that you just go home and lie down on your back and just go, then all this will happen? No. But even your effort has to come out from that faith. That faith is what is important. I just rely on your expressions and how you... So give me signs and I'll turn it on again. Numbers 18, verse 20, Ezekiel 44, verse 28, and it shall be with regard to an inheritance for them that I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. So God and His kingdom is our eternal inheritance. God has chosen Levi and called him and gave him the glory. God has chosen Aaron, called him and gave him the glory, blessed him and made him God's own servant. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 14, I will fill the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness. We see in the anointing of oil, God blessing him and giving him glory and honor, and God delights in him. And brothers and sisters, this is our present spiritual heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. We have been anointed with the true oil, the Holy Spirit. We have been recreated as the priest of God. This is who we are, now and forever. But as you know, the Old Testament priests, the sons of Aaron, they did not understand who they were. They did not believe they were, and they did not believe, and they did not, they were not satisfied with God and God alone. Even though they were priests of God, they wanted this world rather than heaven. They did not delight in their God. So we read these kind of verses all over Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 through 8. Son honors his father and servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? He's talking to priests. And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. So they never delighted in the Lord. They didn't like what the Lord was telling them to do. They were seeking this world rather than heaven and, you know, just be happy with inheritance they have, which is God Himself. They didn't do this. So the Old Testament priests, they completely failed. Even the good ones, they failed. That's the message of the Old Testament. It says, we need the better priest. The true high priest must come and make all of God's people his royal priesthood. The true servant of the Lord has to come. The servant who will be faithful always. The good news for you and for me is that that servant has come. That true priest has come. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61 verse 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Jesus came and fulfilled the office of the priest perfectly. Isaiah 11, verse 1 through 3a, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his root will bear fruit. Jesse is what? You go genealogy of David, Jesse, from Jesse, David comes, but Jesus Christ is the son of David. So this passage, ultimately, a shoot will spring from stem of Jesse, is talking about Jesus Christ. And this priest, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. There's that anointing. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. So we see in Matthew chapter 3 in the New Testament, we see the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lightning on him. And behold, a voice came out of heaven, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, Jesus Christ is the one who are anointed. He is the Messiah. That's what Messiah means, anointed one. He is the Christ. That's what Christ means. It means anointed one. He is the one that the Father is well pleased with. Do you see the anointing of our Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest in his baptism? Just like Aaron was anointed with that anointing oil, we see as Jesus starting his public ministry at age 30, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit upon him. There is that anointing. His baptism was his ordination and installation as the priest of God. And brothers and sisters, I bring you the gospel. In Jesus Christ, then, we are all God's priests. We have been anointed with the true oil of God, the Holy Spirit. And this reality is clearly shown in Acts chapter 2 at the Pentecost. The anointing of God has come upon the people of God. God anoints his people with the true oil of God, the Holy Spirit, to set them apart from this world to be his royal priesthood, to serve him and to worship him forever and ever. When you are recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are born again, when the Holy Spirit came to you, that was your ordination to set you apart as a God's priest forever. So if you say, I'm saved, that means you have become his priest. That's exactly what you're saying. And God says to you, then live like a priest of God. Because that is who you are. It's always like this. Everything that God commands you, God is commanding you because you say you believe. That you believe you're saved. That you believe that all these things happen to you. And all God's commandment is, if you believe, then live by that faith. That's all these commandments are. It's what he's saying. Because if you say, I don't believe, then he doesn't command you these things. If you say, I don't believe, then the only thing he says to you then is, believe. That's it. Because to a non-Christian, all God's commandments, it amounts to cursing him. It just means go to hell, because that non-Christian cannot do any of this. Because even like don't lie, It's not just how world might say don't lie. Just because you don't lie doesn't mean you're obeying God. Because you have to do it with faith. So brothers and sisters, realize who you have become. You are the priest of God. Your job is to serve God and worship Him. So you do everything that you do, whether you are at school, whether you are at work, whether you are at family, whatever you might be doing, you do them in terms of serving God and worshiping God because you are God's royal priesthood. But if we are His priests, God delights in us. God gave us the glory and honor. Do you remember how whatever the holy oil touches become holy? The Holy Spirit is the true holy anointing oil, and He has come to you. Thus, now, you are truly holy. That's why God calls you saints. Because you are holy, people of God. Because you have been anointed with the true anointing oil. So as we learn about how to make this anointing oil and what are they to do with this, we are also learning about what happened to us and who we are in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you have been chosen. You have been called. You have given glory and honor. And you are blessed by God. God has made you holy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Brothers and sisters, God is your inheritance. I mean, all the earthly inheritance you might receive from your earthly father or all the material things you might gather in your life, you're not going to take them with you. And those things come and go. God is your inheritance. Thus, even though you are seen to have nothing at all, and yet you have everything, that's who you are. And one day, all this truth that we're speaking of, this all will be visible so that you will see that it is true. We have been called to be satisfied with God and God alone because we are His priests. And let us witness our complete satisfaction in God as we live our lives here on earth as God's priests. And let us, as God's priests, glorify our God and enjoy Him now and forever. Even now, this is what we're doing as a priest of God. We're serving Him. That's why worship is called service. Right? We call this service. Because we're serving our God. This is true service. You know, some people think that service is like cooking and cleaning or... Yeah, those things are okay. But... you don't do that instead of this, the true service. Because we are to serve God. And we are to serve one another. And that is exactly what we're doing, even as we worship our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for making us your priests. We thank you for setting us apart from this world. You have anointed with the true anointing oil, the Holy Spirit. He has come. Now he resides in us. And we are truly holy. As a holy people of God, as holy priests of God, let us live the life that belongs to that holy priest of God. Let us be satisfied with God and God alone, always believing that God himself is our eternal inheritance. Let us serve you and serve your people, because we are your royal priesthood. We give you all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.